Hey, everybody. It's that time of the week. We're going to kick off another podcast. We're going to talk about darkness today. It's going to be a good one, and we hope you will join us. How about that for a warm intro today? Wow. Welcome to Came to Speak with Pastor Daniel McKillop.
Wow.
We've been accused of being underhanded, so I just want to be warm and hospitable today.
Just
welcome everyone in. We love the audience.
Oh, yes.
We love every one of you. I love everyone at this table today. I love the content. It's amazing.
My goodness, man.
You guys feeling this?
Do we have a new
It feels co-host? Good to be here today. It's Friday, everyone.
Yes.
Toot your horn. Turn on the wipers. It's Friday.
Yeah, take off your eclipse glasses.
Yeah, you missed it.
It's gone.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know where you guys were, but I was in
the path.
The path of totality. Yes. Have you been there before?
Yes, the path of totality.
There's got to be a sermon there. Come on, I thought you were going to talk about that today, like the path of totality.
As Elder James Gross has said, every preacher has, I think he said, 7, maybe 10 messages and hundreds of titles. So,
wow. No mercy from the elder.
You just gave me a title. That's good. Path of totality.
We're talking about darkness today. Is that what we're doing?
We are.
All right. So we will, for the algorithms.
Don't eclipse the moment.
For the algorithms, we're going to say eclipse. What else?
It works. I would just keep saying
eclipse.
I would just keep saying it on repeat. Eclipse. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I know there's an eclipse.
Eclipse.
What does eclipse?
I don't know. However, we digress. Back to the Kingdom Speaker. No, you want to go there or no?
No.
Okay, all right. No, I gave you. I'll ask you twice, and then I don't ask anymore. 5-star review says, good channel. All right, this is pretty good so far. Kingdom Speak is excellent. I always love to come listen when I've run out of Biblos episodes to tune into.
Oh, zing.
Great conversation and words that open up new avenues into thoughts, especially for a young man such as myself. This is my second favorite podcast.
I love it.
That's from Is12AAC.
Yeah, he wouldn't put Apple his name podcast. There because
is now a was.
Congratulations, you made it onto the show. Yes. So congratulations.
And can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah?
We had some real guests in the studio on the weekend.
Yes.
And remember, we were telling them, listen, the secret to getting a review is you either talk about, you know, those guys or
those guys.
You'd be a bit controversial and we get you on, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it is again. It makes its way to the top. And it was good. We had live living fans sitting in all of our chairs.
That was really cool.
It was kind of cool.
It was.
And yet again, you meet someone who already knows you, and it's very weird.
Yes.
Well, and the cool part was that they just stopped in on their way by, right? So they just kind of...
The other cool part is they didn't know who producer Randy was.
Yes, they didn't.
Authentically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did they recognize you on the drum set when they were in church?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're like, who is this guy? And he took his tie off, and they're like... there he is.
That's it.
It all makes sense now.
Yeah, nice tie, guys.
I'm kind of liking your tie today, too.
I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, authentically, the eclipse, I have to confess, was pretty cool.
It was, like, really neat.
Was anyone else in the camp of, oh, man, there's a lot of talk about this. Is it really going to? Is it really going to?
Yep. You know, I was talking to Randy's dad last night. We're recording this just the day after. Mm-hmm. So I know it's Friday, but we'll catch you.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was out in the woods during the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And that when it completely went dark, that the woods went quiet.
Absolutely silent.
The birds stopped singing. Hmm. Everything stopped. And then when the lights came back on, it's just like reignite. That's pretty cool.
It was very unique.
That's pretty cool. I saw a headline talking about how it affected different zoo animals. I never read it, but you know that has to mess
it.
Up
you
the
yeah
the man, psyche.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. Survived solar.
Did you notice how everything just had kind of like as it was dimming and approaching, you know, that last 10%, 5%, it was like the hue.
Yeah.
I've designed in Photoshop before or worked on pictures.
Yeah.
It was like someone grabbed the hue slider and just all of the vibrant colors were just kind of dumbed down. Did you notice that?
It felt to me like I was looking at a photo filter.
Yeah.
It's like
you're
blinking.
The light was white. Like
strange.
It was.
Strange.
You didn't look without your glasses on, though, did you?
Oh, no. No, no. I would never do that. Okay.
Just making sure. Just squinting around. I found when it actually started getting brighter, almost just as impacting or just as cool as it getting darker, like actually it coming back, the intensity, like come back pretty quick.
We don't have to talk the whole thing about this, but the other thing that really impacted me was how intense
a sliver
of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Was.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd look at it with your glasses when it started to lighten back up. And I mean, it's just like just a thumbnail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, boom, light. Almost back to full light.
Well, that contributed to my skepticism because I'm sitting there and
it's not going to get dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 60, 70% eclipsed. And it's like, if nobody told you what was going on, yeah, whatever.
You wouldn't even know.
Pretty cool.
Personally, I just personally think that it was a cover up, but that's just me.
Yeah, don't try to get me going on that because we could have a great discussion.
It was a
cover up.
It was a lunar cover up.
Yeah. Well, if you believe there's a moon.
Did anybody see the moon yesterday when that was happening? No.
No.
Good point.
No.
Absolutely good point.
No. I think it was a government.
And I just have a few questions. That's all I'm going to say.
Few questions. Okay. All right.
I've seen these posts on X. I want to call it Twitter, but
formerly known.
They show these videos of President Biden or our prime minister or some random person, and they're just in public doing something. And the caption is always, "What do you notice about this video?"
Yes. I'm like, yes.
You guys, you live in a stressed out life right now.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Oh.
April 8th, we all survived it.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
The world was going to end.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Now, the world is going to end, but I don't think an eclipse is what it was talking about.
So, here we go. What do you got spun up for us today?
Try to shed some light on some stuff.
Premium content.
Yeah.
Lined up today, I will say.
Yeah.
We have heard some of this already.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'll be the first to say it was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Micah
7.
Verse 8 says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me."
Verse 9.
"I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause."
Yeah.
"And execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and shall behold his righteousness."
So it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We have shouted about the fact that our adversary should not rejoice against us when we fall. So the first point is not if we fall, when we fall. I have, along with a number of any other apostolics, and probably could extend this to include the broader denominational world at large, any critic of religion is going to say, I'm just a bunch of hypocrites, right? And I addressed that a few weeks ago at our Easter service when we had a room full of guests, and we were delighted to have them. I said, where else are you going to go and find a hypocrite anyway? Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, I'm just going to go to that church. They're just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you don't find hypocrites at a bar. Mm-hmm. Or you don't find hypocrites, you know, at whatever immoral institution you want to draft up. Mm-hmm. You find them in the church. So the church is not for perfect people. Mm-hmm. The church is for, it's built for people that fall. When I fall, not if, mm-hmm. when I fall, yep. I shall arise. Right. You need to pre-program your response. It's not just it's not just
yeah, that's right.
what I do in life. It's what I do after I have done what I've done that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's a kind of a word salad. I sound like Kamala Harris there. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Listen.
Ooh.
Listen. I can't tolerate these.
Let us... words out.
There's another underhanded comment. We can't have them.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Listen. Okay, there we go.
As if Trudeau doesn't speak in word saladese. Oh, Lord. So it's not just the action. Mm-hmm. It's what I do after the action. Mm-hmm. So if I fall, that's one part of it. But it's response.
Yeah. That's right.
That ultimately predicates. I think it's Bishop Booker that preached a fantastic message. E plus R equals O. Mm-hmm. Event plus response equals outcome. Events never determine outcome. Response to events determine outcome. Mm-hmm. So what you do after you betray Judas is key.
What matters, yeah. Right? That's how you be defined.
Mm. Or if you are Peter who has denied Christ... Mm-hmm. What you do after denial, what you do after betrayal, mm-hmm. really cements mm-hmm. the history, right? How yeah. you're remembered. So what Judas did after betrayal was mm-hmm. went out, succumbed, gave in, and died short of Calvary, where the provision was being made for when you fall, this is what you do. Whereas Peter, when he fell in denying Christ, went out and wept bitterly, repented, was there for Calvary, ultimately ends up preaching mm-hmm. on the day of Pentecost. So you don't need to approach your walk with God. If you're just starting your walk with God, don't approach your walk with God with this unrealistic, I can pull it off without stumbling.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right? I can pull it mm-hmm. off without those moments around the fire. I can pull it off. No, you can't. All right? So this is not about taking the grace of God and turning it into a license to sin. This is just the reality. And Micah's tapping into it. My adversary, don't mm-hmm. you rejoice That's right. that I fell down. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because I've pre-programmed my response to my fall. My fall, when I fall, I will get back right. up. So we often equate justness, righteousness, or unrighteousness based on whether we fall or not. Really, the definition is whether you get up or not.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When a just man falls seven times, he gets back up again. It's not about a magic number. It's about getting up one more time than you fell. That is what defines you as righteous or cements you as a failure. So Micah's tapping into this when he's saying, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, mm-hmm. I shall arise. But then he adds this phrase in there. Mm-hmm. And what's that phrase, Brother Derek?
It says, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me.
So here's what happens. Mm-hmm. Is when we fall, sometimes there's that moment between the fall and mm-hmm. the arising mm-hmm. that you just sit, and it is in a dark place. Hmm. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I find this very encouraging and enlightening, if I could play on that word. Mm-hmm. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. So there's no doubt. There's no cover up. There's no denial. Mm-hmm. He knows he's sinned. Israel has sinned. We are sitting in darkness because of him. But I'll bear the indignation of the Lord until he plead my cause. Mm-hmm. I love this next statement. And execute judgment for me.
Yeah, it's almost like a typo.
Yeah. What do you mean? I sinned.
Judgment for.
I'm bearing your indignation.
Totally. Yeah. It's a typo. It's got to be a typo. What does it say in the Trump Bible?
Oh, he did. Whew. I'm going to just move right on.
No.
I am not going to sit in that darkness.
What does it say? Okay, sir. I was just asking an honest question.
Yes. It's King James Version. It says exactly this.
Are we in 2 Corinthians?
No. We're in Mica.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys and girls. I'm sorry.
You couldn't hold on.
Everyone knows we were going to bring it up.
The brakes were hot.
Yes, we made it 15 minutes in.
Okay.
That's it. I got my joke. We're good. Yeah, judgment.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The adversary that is rejoicing against you when you fall wants you to think that God is executing judgment against you.
Oh, yeah. You're in trouble now.
To you.
You're in trouble. Yeah, it's over.
But the righteous understand that even when I fall, he is executing judgment for me. Yes. That is not just a semantical difference. Judgment to versus judgment for makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
It says a lot about how you view the judge. God is executing judgment for me. When he does that, I'm sitting in darkness. He will bring me to the light. Okay, so this is a passage that in any circle you've heard referenced, you've heard it quoted, we hang on to it. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm wanting to talk a bit more about sitting in darkness and what do I do when things get dark. And when I'm going through a season when, if we can borrow off of this week's events, when something eclipses the light in my life. An eclipse is literally when an object
gets between
you and the source of light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we have all been, if you've been living for God for any period of time, you've had those moments when a situation that you're going through eclipses the light in your life.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And you experience darkness. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be using a lot of comparisons in today's episode of natural and spiritual, and I don't want you to get lost in that. This is not just going to be a scientific discussion. Life gets dark, and I believe that there would be unanimous consent with our audience today, that our world is getting darker and darker and darker, and we're racing against the doom clock? Isn't there a clock where they talk about that? There's like, Google it, man. Google it.
Doom clock.
I think it's clock of doom or based on world events.
Doomsday clock.
Is that what it is?
What is the doomsday clock right now? It just says 90 seconds to midnight.
Okay. So it changes. Like they
oh, okay.
I don't know who it is and who's on the board of the doomsday clock, but they program world events into it to say we're this close to doomsday. And it shuffles back and forth based on whether we're in times of peace or war.
It's just saying right now it's still 90 seconds to midnight, so I got to read the article to figure out what that is.
All right.
It's something to do with Ukraine.
Yeah.
Ukraine and Russia and Gaza Strip must all be in there.
Crazy, man. Climate change.
I can't believe you haven't heard of
the
that.
The dangers of AI.
What do they call it? The doomsday clock?
Is that what it is? Doomsday clock is what I'm looking at
doomsday
right now.
Clock. So I think everybody would probably agree. If you don't agree, let us know. But
oh, they will.
Yeah, yeah. So the doomsday clock is a symbol that represents the likelihood of a human-made global catastrophe.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So we're on the verge of, you know, quote unquote World War III.
Gotcha. Or, gotcha.
Okay. Mm. And they do move it. Like there's an announcement. You know, we're getting closer. So I don't know who gets up in the morning.
So the original setting for this clock was 7 minutes to midnight.
Oh, nice. How long ago?
1947.
World War II.
Now we're at 90 seconds.
Yeah. It's been sent backwards 8 times and forward 17 times. So the closest we've ever been was January of 2023. So, yeah.
Man, how's that make everybody feel?
Happy New Year.
Happy Doomsday to you. So the world's dark.
Oh, yeah.
The world's dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there is numerous things that are obstructing the source of light that casts shadows on the world that we're living in today. Now, here's an interesting thing that I think needs to be just at least entertained for a moment. Is I don't think we can truly get our mind around how dark is without being intentional, okay? Mm-hmm. Because our world is inundated with artificial light.
That's right.
So artificial light has enabled us to tame the mm-hmm. severity of the darkness.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Is that maybe the best way I know how to try to articulate it. We even at midnight, we can turn the lights on, and we at least within the confines of our life, mm-hmm. we can control
mm-hmm.
how dark it gets around us. And if we're not careful, it gives us an artificial sense of control.
That's right.
So it's really darker than what we are perceiving, because we just refuse to embrace it, and we think we throw a nightlight at it,
mm-hmm.
and it combats the claustrophobic intensity of the darkness. So when you're in that moment, darkness, I think evil is more like a dimmer switch than a switch. It's mm-hmm. it's something that is slowly enhanced.
Hmm.
Darkness has dimensions to it. Not all darkness is equal. In the same way that light has dimensions to it. There's a spectrum of light. I believe there's dimensions of darkness. You read through scripture and you'll see. Mm-hmm. Not all darkness is equal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's unique darknesses. Hell is described as a place of outer darkness. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna talk through some of these today. So the same can be said about light. Not all light is created equal. There are times that light is more intense. And if you walk into a room that there's no outside light coming into it, mm-hmm. and you turn on your flashlight on your phone, mm-hmm. you push back darkness. You don't eradicate it in totality.
That's right.
But but for where you are, you have tamed it. You've mm-hmm. tamed it. But then you turn around and you get the other 1,000 people in that room to turn their cell phone flashlights on. And then the light you had before can be described as dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was light at that moment, but the progression of intensity, the spectrum, is leading you on a path mm-hmm. that what was light yesterday can be described as darkness when exposed to another dimension of light. How about this? If you walk in the light,
you're right.
Yeah.
As he is in the light.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not, by the way, and we've had requests to talk about the light doctrine, and we need to talk about that. So that doctrine is not giving people a way out on the plan of salvation, okay? Mm. This is written to people that are born again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, mm-hmm. there is progression. God has more light than what we can even perceive. Mm-hmm. We can't even handle it, okay?
Yeah.
So in the same capacity, darkness has dimensions to it. Mm-hmm. I think we all maybe would have experienced this at one time or another where there's certain roads that I wouldn't walk down at night.
Yeah.
During the day, seems to be fine. Darkness just changes the atmosphere. It changes everything. It heightens the awareness of evil, and it just feels different.
Every sound sounds different in the dark.
Absolutely. Okay? Mm. So the concept of darkness, and if you find yourself in a dark season, this is resonating with you as we're talking. You're going, I feel that. A lot of times, and that's why I think we need to talk about this. I even heard about it since we've talked about this at church recently, where there was a guest there that was describing the darkness that he was in and struggled with suicidal tendencies. And I'm just telling you, darkness hates life, not just light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But light and life are so intertwined, it despises it, okay? But the good news is that light can shine in darkness. So you got to hang on for this and not just sound clip everything that we're saying. There is good news in this. From the very beginning, darkness has been a part of this world that we are in and the kingdom that we are a part of. And I want us to look at that by going to Genesis chapter number 1. We get literally two verses in. Mm-hmm. And darkness is being addressed. Genesis 1 and 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God
moved upon the face of the waters.
And then... Mm-hmm. God said,
let there be light.
Let there be light. And there was.
And there was.
Okay. So notice the progression here. First of all, earth is void. Mm-hmm. It is without form. I think the Hebrew words here are tohu bohu, literally formless, voidless, wasteland. Okay. There's so much in these first few verses. I can't even tap into it. But I think the more you study it, the more you learn about God, his nature, the idea, the attributes of divinity. They are so deep in these first few verses. Hmm. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. So here you have water covering everything, but he identifies earth that is beneath it, like it's stacked. Mm-hmm. So earth in its substance is there, in its raw potential, it is there, but it is covered by this chaotic voidness and this deep water that literally shrouds any potential. And when you are in a dark situation, that is what you feel. So somebody from the outside looks at you and goes, no, there's still potential in you. Mm-hmm. And you go, but I don't see it. Mm-hmm. I can't see it. Listen, he couldn't see the earth either. It's covered by the face of the deep. But God identified down in there, there's earth. Mm-hmm. There is matter down in there that I can do something with. Okay? So when you're in a chaotic situation, you need God. And you need a word from God that can speak into your situation and look beyond the surface tension of the chaos that is drowning out your potential, okay? And I believe what we are seeing here on a cosmic scale, on a corporate scale, is played out on the lives of individuals in a microcosmic scale over and over and over and over again when the gospel is reintroduced or introduced to their chaotic existence. So when he says this, The earth is without form, it is void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep. We think, those of us that have read it, we think, and he said, let there be light. And then, surely the Spirit didn't move before the light came. Right? In our mind. Now, we read the story and we know that he said that the Spirit of God moved, and then he spake, let there be light. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a dark situation, you want him to turn the lights on first.
That's so true.
Yes. That's boom. So listen true. To that.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired of the darkness.
Yeah, I just want to see.
Yeah.
Mm. And I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have no clarity.
Where am I?
I'm confused. I can't see anything. Right? And yep. So you come to church, and we think, well, God won't touch me. No. I'm telling you that God does not need light mm-hmm. to move. Mm-hmm. God can move when it's dark.
That's so good.
There is a dimension I would throw out for your consideration. There is an activation in the God who, later on in this same book, is described as light.
That's right.
There's an activation mm-hmm. when he sees darkness, mm-hmm. the creative side of God.
Hmm.
Okay? So the Spirit of God, in order for it to move mm-hmm. on a situation, it doesn't need the lights to come on. The Spirit of God doesn't need, quote unquote, to see where it's going. Okay? Well, I can't see anything. God doesn't need to see anything to move. There is an interesting definition that I want to bring in here when it says that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. When it moved, there's only a couple of places that this word is actually recorded in Scripture, and one of the other ones is Deuteronomy 32 and 11, and it's talking about an eagle that is fluttering over its nest. Hmm. And it extends. Could you actually get that Deuteronomy 32, 11 and just read that?
Yes, sir. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth.
The word there, fluttereth, mm-hmm. is the same word as moves on the face of the deep.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So as she fluttereth.
Over her young, spreadeth yes. abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings.
Mm.
So the Lord alone did lead him.
So he's talking about the nature of that eagle to protect her young, to flutter over them, to brood over them, to bear them up. All of this has typology of Genesis in it. He is literally beginning to flutter, brood, spread his wings over them. Now let me pull the earth out of the chaos. Mm-hmm. Let me out of that substrata, out of that
sure.
beneath the surface of the chaos. Let the Spirit hover until it begins to pull that out. Okay? When the Spirit of God gets moving, that is not some docile moment. That is an activation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The illumination will come. Mm-hmm. I promise you it will come. Mm-hmm. But the activation is already happening, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. You don't need illumination prior to activation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the fluttering of the Spirit, the brooding of the Spirit, the lovingly entreating over top of the roaring chaos, it's just this flutter. Come on, come out, mm-hmm. come out, come out of the chaos, mm-hmm. come on. Mm-hmm. Calling it out. Okay, so light is not a prerequisite for the Spirit to move.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another thing that I want to kind of anchor in your mind. When things get dark, God is always up to something big.
Mm. Boom.
Always.
That's a big deal.
Always.
That just goes against your human nature, doesn't it?
It does. Because we equate darkness with evil.
Inactivity.
Mm. Abandonment.
Abandonment. Alone.
Definitely. Right. And these are all separation. Very real things.
Yeah, separation.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. But the last thing that you can ever adopt in your walk with God is that when it's dark, God's gone.
Right.
When it's dark, God is not gone. When you can't see what the next step is, then you still need to let him flutter over you and pull out of the chaos. Now, I want you to drop, if you would, Brother Derek, to verse 14 of Genesis, chapter number 1.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven.
Okay, if I can pause you there, we just read in verse 3.
Let there be light.
On day 1, let there be light. And there was light.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So on day 1, we had light. On day 2, we had light. He separated the day and the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? On day 3, we had light. On day 4, he is not creating light.
Mm-hmm.
He is creating
lights.
Lights. Lights. In the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night.
Mm-hmm. And let them be for signs.
And let them be for what?
Signs.
Oh, underscore that. Bold that. Uppercase that. Let them be for signs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For
seasons.
Seasons.
For days, for years.
For days, for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16.
And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also.
He just throws that out. Yep. And he made the stars also.
Yep.
Little interesting footnote to my creation journey here. Yep. I made the stars also.
Oh, whoops. Had some extra light here.
Right.
Yes. Got something left over. Yeah.
So on day 4, we have him introducing the planets, the stars, the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The sun is going to rule the day. Yep. The moon is going to rule the night.
Yep.
It's going to be now. This is why I'm saying true, authentic darkness. I'm not sure that we've even totally ever experienced it, okay? Because even night after day 4 is ruled by a lesser light.
That's right. It's still a form of light. That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So even as dark as the night gets, it's still light.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think without God helping us even to get our minds around how dark really is, because we live in a world that is ruled by light. Mm-hmm. Lesser light, greater light.
That's right.
Okay? Now, I know that our audience are
they're bright.
They are bright. I was going to steal one of Brother Urshan's statements, and then you just went there. What's he call them? Bibliophiles? I think that's what he calls them. They're students of the Bible. So I don't know if all of our audience are bibliophiles, but you're already tracking with me. It's noteworthy that we have light on day 1 and not a sun until day 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very interesting.
Okay.
So where does the light come from?
What is that underscoring? It's underscoring that the sun is not the source of light.
The ultimate source of light.
The ultimate source of light existed on day 1. This is where false religion, idolatrous religions, fall prey to worshiping the sun. That's not the source.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So day 1 we have light, day 4 we have sun. So it's kind of a mind bend to realize, hey, just a second now. We've got light before we've got sun. We've got light before we have planets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we are seeing this when we run clear to the other end of the book and go to Revelation 21, verse 2.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Verse 23.
Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun.
And the city had no need of the sun.
Neither of the moon to shine in it.
Why?
For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light
and
thereof.
And the Lamb is the light thereof. Revelations 22 and 5, if you just keep scrolling.
22:5 says, and there shall be no night there, for they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
I believe when we look futuristically, we're seeing what it was in Genesis. He is the source of light. So, in a way, even the sun is an artificial enlightening agent.
Yeah.
God is the true source of light is, of what light is. The glory of God is the source of light. That is why when you get into the tabernacle,
right,
in the outer court, you have natural light. In the inner court, you have revelatory light that comes by reason of candlesticks and the anointing. But when you get in the holiest of holies, there is no anointed light. There is no natural light. It is glory only. So there are times, and this is where to anybody that is going through a dark season right now, the light you need is not a night light. The light you need is not the sunlight. Okay? Use all of that to whatever you want to. Go take a walk in the sun, enjoy it. But ultimately, the light you need is the one that we can tap into. We don't live there yet, but we have access to it. What light? That light, that light that enlightened the world from day one to day four. That light that's going to enlighten the heavenly Jerusalem after there's no need of the sun. And he wipes away all of our tears. So we have these little examples throughout Scripture where we see little snapshots where someone gets exposed to that light. And it literally transforms them. Okay? Moses goes up the mountain, spends 40 days in the glory of God.
Yep.
The glory of God is an enlightening agent. When he comes down off of that mountaintop experience, he is literally radiating with such an intensity of light that they say, please veil your face. We can't even look at you right now. They needed some of those eclipse glasses. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Saul is on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, that's a great one, man.
And Acts 26 and 12, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light.
From heaven.
From heaven? Mm-hmm. What kind of light was it?
Above the brightness of the sun.
Above the brightness of the sun.
Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
Right. Right.
He delineated between that and the sun right away. He knew it.
He knew.
I'm not looking at the sun right
what
now.
What I just saw.
Yeah.
Okay. It blinded him.
Yeah.
It blinded him. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that this is a... Let me just go ahead here just for one moment and let you turn to Acts 26. Do you have it there?
I'm here. Where are we going?
Go. This is dangerous. We're going to go Vogue here and off script. Down to verse 16.
But rise and stand upon thy feet. This is after he says, who art thou, Lord?
Right.
But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose.
Yeah.
To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen.
Okay. You gotta be reading this from the perspective of the event. The things you have seen. He's blind.
All he's seen was
light. He saw a brilliant light that far surpassed the brilliance of the noonday sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the things which I will appear unto thee.
So now I'm blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And God is telling me something's going to appear
it's
unto me.
It's going to appear, although I'm blind. I can't see anything.
He is commissioning him. This is Paul's, or the man that will become Paul's, ordination service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's getting his commission to ministry right now. What's going to be your objective to ministry, Paul?
I will send thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.
Mm-hmm. You don't think at that moment that Paul could fully relate to what he was being called to,
mm-hmm.
blinded himself, and to have God tell him, now I'm calling you to rescue blinded people and to bring them to the light. That's quite a moment.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. That's some light.
Okay. So Paul ultimately ends up, and we see this in Acts 27, where he tells them, look, guys, don't leave the harbor. We're best here. Let's just stay here. And a soft wind blows and they leave. And Euroclodon arises and begins to beat them vehemently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And verse 20 of Acts 27 says,
and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away.
Mm-hmm. It was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're not. Yeah. Why? Because they were looking at inferior dimensions of light for direction.
That's right.
Yes, exactly right.
And so when the clouds eclipsed their ability to see where they got their direction from, hopelessness set in. We're not going to make it. 14 days, I might add, is not a short period of time.
It wouldn't take me 14 days to get to that point.
Right.
These guys knew what they were doing.
And these, remember, Genesis tells us, these planets are given for sign.
Yep.
Okay? So they have lost their ability to measure progress.
They don't know where they're going.
To measure direction.
Mm.
They don't know where they are. Okay? It is dark. Like 14 days worth of dark. The darkness can only be measured, to me, by the statement that is made, and all hope was lost.
Hmm.
That's a desperate, desperate situation. Verse 21.
But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me.
That's Greek for I told you so.
And not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I will exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying,
fear not. There stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and who I serve. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. The entrance of thy word giveth light.
Yes.
Thy word is a lamp unto me and a light unto my path. I don't need to see the sun. Not to get through what I'm going through.
I've got another source.
I have another source. It may be dark, but I saw something last night. And that angel came and gave me direction. And he told me everything is going to be all right. So the spirit, if you will, this is a Genesis connection. This is darkness on the face of the deep. And there is, boom, light and direction. Coming to Paul, saying, this is what you tell them.
In the form of a word.
In the form of a word. This is, let there be light.
Yeah, that's a great illustration.
Okay?
It is Genesis.
That is why when you're going through a dark season, you do not stay home in a dark closet or in a basement.
No.
You don't allow depression to keep you from coming back to the house of God. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. it, regardless of how dark it is, you get back to the ship of Zion, and you sit down, and you listen to the angel of the church, and he will speak a word to you. Right. And at that moment,
boom. Yep.
It will bring light to you.
Yeah.
So what do I do when it gets dark? You don't jump off the ship.
No. Listen to the man of God.
Right?
Yeah.
You stay tuned. Mm-hmm. You let the Spirit flutter over you, hover over you, minister to you, protect you, even when you can't see what's going on. You let that brooding of the Spirit, and invariably there's going to be a word that penetrates. The light will come. Mm. The light will come, but you need to just go ahead and let the Spirit brood over you and just see what God can do with the darkness that's going on in your life.